give a shiur on the Indian of Meiser, and the truth is that one night is not enough, that would not give it justice to really cover the subject. In fact, two nights wouldn't be giving it justice either. However, I think that between tonight and next week, we can cover a lot of the issues. I asked Shalom to reach out to the Olim to request specific questions. Unfortunately, I wasn't in my office, so I didn't get the questions. But in Yetz Hashem, those questions that I don't cover tonight, I promise to cover them as best I can next week. Yeah. What? As best as I can. A promise, by the way, in Moses the Dorm, it's not a Lashon. That's Parshas Fu, my Moses Matas, Ishkiyam, Ruud, the Nether. Timing is everything, as I say. Okay. The first thing we have to discuss, we have to understand, is that the truth is, Meiser. People confuse Meiser with Stoker. Meiser might be a Chiyav Stoker, but there is a Chiyav before you, Meiser, there's a Chiyav Stoker in the Torah. There's a Chiyav to give Stoker. What is that Chiyav Stoker? So, state in Shulchan Aruch, it's come from the Gemaras, Tzorach Lipein, La'olam, it's in Siman Reish Mem Pes, Sif Beis. A person has to give per year a shlishis hashekel, a third of a shekel. If a person gives less than that, he's not mekayim the mitzvah stock. Okay? So, what is a shlishis hashekel? So, a shekel, depending on a shekel, can be measured depending on who you go by. Somewhere between 14 grams of silver and more than 19 grams of silver, a little more than 19 grams of silver. A shlishis hashekel would be a third of that. Okay, so if you cheshbon, I don't know exactly how much an ounce of silver is today. It's probably around $5 a year. Okay, that's the base chiyuv. I mean, a shlishis hashekel. Okay, a base chiyuv of stocker. Okay, is a shlishis hashekel. Now that is one chiyuv. Then, really before that, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph says shir nisiyos, nisiyoso. Im yodei maseges yitein kipi tzarech ani. Then ein yodei maseges kolkar yitein a choymish dechoso mitzvah min amuch. You give a choymish, a fifth, 20%, it's a mitzvah min amuch. The echad me'asorah is mitzvah. That's the comment on Meiser that the Shulchan Aruch has. That is the Shulchan Aruch's comment on Meiser. Choymish is Mitzvah Min HaMufcher, the Benenis is Echad Min HaSorah, and Pachas Mikan is Ayin Ruh. It's an Ayin Ruh. Now, the Chiyuv of Meiser that's in the Torah, and we're all familiar with the Pasuk, Aser Ta'aser, and we know the Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Yochanan, my d'chsiv aser ta'aser, aser b'shvil shetisasher. Give meiser so that one can be, so you become rich. You become rich." Is so now the pasuk of aser ta'aser is talking about tefuah. Okay? The pasuk is talking about as shet aser ta'aser cold who was as cold who was zara hayotzei hasodah shanasha. So that is not talking about meiser of revach. That is not talking about meiser of mamain that you make. Okay, the meiser that we're talking about in the pasuk is meiser of tefuah, and that meiser from tefuah, it makes no difference whether you made money on the tefuah. Whether it could be you invested more than the payers that come out of the tefuah, you still have to give meiser. That's the din of meiser, the meiser of tefuah, the meiser rishon, or the meiser ani. Oh, so where does meiser kesef come in? Where bechlal do we find that meiser of kesef, meiser of revah?
If you look at the Tosfos brings a sifri. Hach yisa b'sifri. Aser ta'aser es kol tfuah zarach. Hayoytze asod shana shana. Ein li ela tfuah zarach. I only know tfuah from zera. Shechayev b'maisa. Ribis upragmatia. If a person made money with ribis, remember if you're talking about it, ribis from a guy. Upragmatia, business. V'chol shah revochim minayim. How do I know that you have to give maiser on other gains? Talmud loymar es kol. So shtei es kol. Dahabim motzi l'meimer es tfuos. My kol. L'rabo es ribis upragmatia v'chol dover shemar v'yichba. Anything you gain. So Vaisos from the Sifri, it's mashma from the Sifri that Vaisos is bringing, that ribis of my, that maisa of sofim, maisa of revach, a maisa of something that you make money, that you have a financial gain, is a chiyuv midairaisa. It's kum tfun aser taasa. Aser taasa is not only talking about tfuah, it's talking about revach. Nishma deim, not only the Sifri, ove in tanshuno. Tanchuma also an aser taaser. If you want to look it up, it's an ois yud ches. Tanchuma says aser taaser, aser b'shvil shetisashem, aser kidei shaloi tischaser. Become rich and take maisa, so you shouldn't. Not only that you're not going to gain, you're going to lose if you don't give maisa. Remez l'mefor sheyamim. This is a remez to those people that go and they travel the world. In the first yam, they go on the waters. Lahafrish, meaning they go to do business far away. Lahafrish echod min asorah la'amele teirim. That they should give one tenth of what they make to the amele teirim. So Mishusan Tazach, the Medrash Tanchuma, Rav Tanchum, is saying that the Iker Meiser, Iker Meiser Ksofim, first of all, seemingly it's from the Pasuk, and secondly, it's what? It's la'amele Torah. It's for those that are toiling in Torah. It's just the Medrash. It seems that the ikur of Meiser is taka la'amele Torah. But we're going to discuss exactly who the recipients of Meiser should be. Next week, I just touched on it peripherally because we see from the Tanchuma that it seems like it's la'amele Torah. Yeah. What is the level of chiyuv? Okay. What is the level of chiyuv? To be Maisa. Is there a chiyuv of Maisa? Okay. When Shulchan Aruch puts it, the Yoytzer Tzaka with a Shlishis HaShekel. So what is Maisa? What is this? Where does this chiyuv Maisa come? And the Ramah, he comments in Shin, the what we discussed before was Reish Mem Tes. The Ramah in Shin Lamed Aleph, the Ramah says, he comments, and he doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the Prate Dinim, all the Dinim of Maisa. What you can't give Maisa from, what you can't give Maisa from. Harav HaMechava Hazeh Hishmi Kol Dinim Maisa Oni. Shekosav Atur, Sheyesh Lumad Mehem, Harav HaDinim Tzaka, Hanoyegin Hagidmi. For Maisa, all the Dinim Maisa Oni, you could learn Dinim of them, the Negeta to Tzaka. And the Rama also is interesting. The Rama says that he himself says, anybody wants to know the Ikri Adinim, you should be Ma'ayim Bifnim, you should be Ma'ayim in the Torah. So the Rama also doesn't exactly bring it as he just says, if you want to be Ma'ayim in the Adinim, you should look at the Torah. Now, it seems quite clear. There are many Paiskim that hold. We'll just talk the Taz on the side. Brings from Hishver to Bach. The Bach says, as Maisa Litkin Chiyav Deraisa, Maisa Ksofim. Okay? Of gains, of Maisa on a financial gain. Is not a Deraisa, Mishkin Derabonon. The Bach holds of a Saminic Tov. Saminic Yisro. Okay? As I state in Bach. The Taz holds is a Chiyav Gomer. Okay? The pashtus of the Taz is that the Chiyav Gomer is a Derabonon, not a Deraisa. That's the Chayra, that's the Pashtus, how most learn the Taz. Okay? So we have that Taisvis himself is Mashma, that it's a Deraisa. And the Shara Frayim, the Piskachuva over here brings, the Piskachuva right up in order over here, brings from the Shara Frayim that it's also Mashma, it's a Deraisa. And it's a Chilgaba Deraisa. But the Taz is Mashma, it's only Derabonon. And the Shubis Chavis Yor is Mashma, also that it's a Derabonon.
And the back holds it's seemingly a minig shel mitzvah. The lashon is a minig shel mitzvah. Most poskim passing like the Bach, the Chacham Tzvi, the Yaivitz, most passing. In fact, the Tshuva Me'ava brings from the Meram Rutenberg, he says, everybody missed it, the Meram Rutenberg passing also, it is not, the Reis is not, the Arbon is a Minik Shal Mitzvah. Now, this Minik Shal Mitzvah, what is this Mechayev person, this Minik Shal Mitzvah? Now, if you look at the Tshuva Me'ava is mashma, that once it's a Minik Shal Mitzvah, you're Mechuyev to do the Minik. It says it's not the pshat that if you do it, it becomes a minig. I know the claim that you did, you have to keep it out thin dead. Shumiyava holds that it's a chiyuv. I wouldn't call it chiyuv. It's a minig shel mitzvah. The pshat, a person's mechuyev to do it. Mitzad a minig, a person's mechuyev to do it. Unless that's the minig Yisrael, the person's mechuyev to do it. But most achronim seem not to hold the claim. Most achronim seem to say that the pshat is it's a hanhoga claim. In fact, I'm very agreeing that the first person. First time a person gives stock of Mimaisa, if he does, he should say it's Bli Neder. Because he doesn't want to be Mekabel on himself a Neder. This Grada, Grois Machlek Zachronim, is beyond the scope of Maiser, certainly beyond the scope of the Shia. Exactly, so good. So you're saying that it's not the Pshat, it's a Minig Shal Mitzvah that we're Mechuyiv in and of itself. But you're Mechuyiv, once you're Noyig, once you do the Minig Shal Mitzvah, you're Mechuyiv. As Neder, Midine Neder. So there's a big machlokes. There's a big machlokes hapoiskim. It's a big machlokes in the nusach that we say or the mat neder, and we say any hanhaga toive that we were not knowing, that we were knowing gimel pamim. So there's a big machlokes hapoiskim. You have to be knowing a minute toive. You have to be knowing it three times to be knowing it. Fashions you do it one time. There's some machron that want to say that lemaisa a neder with bar mitzvah is chalivim bedas. So as long as the person was machri in his own mind to do it, he wouldn't even have to do an hanhaga toiva. But we can't say that. I think the achronim want to say that the pshat is that it has to become. They'll say if it's a regilus by you, so then it becomes a chiyuv. It's not the pshat that it's mamash a kabbalas neder. You need the regilus to make it into the chiyuv. Okay. Now there's going to be many nafkaminas. The fact that we pass in pashtas. We paskin taka that it's taka most after the paskin that it's taka minik shel mitzvah. What are the nafkaminas? Well, even if you hold that it's a derabbanan, but what kind of a hanhaga toiva is it? What kind of a chiyuv derabbanan? Pashas would have to mimic ma'aser ani. Now, if it has to mimic ma'aser ani, a lot of the heterim that we're going to have ma'aser ksofim are not negay. L'moshel, taking off expenses, b'chlal are not negay because if it's mamish like ma'aser ani, so it's bedugma ma'aser tefuah. So lechayra, but lemaisa. So a lot of what we're going to discuss over here is based on the idea that it's a minik shel mitzvah. Now, if you look at the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch, the pashtus of the Shulchan Aruch, actually not the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, the pashtus of Ramah and Siman Meishu Ben Pes. The question was asked, what can you give Maisa to? Okay? I'm not going to discuss the ins and outs of every little thing.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You don't give everything, you're giving a mitzvah of that thing. If you invest in a deal, you get money back. So that money back is in fact, there are those places that want to say that you have to, every time you pull out of a deal, you have to give mitzvah on the carrot. It's not this. It's nice in the castle. Let's keep this betuk for mitzvah. Okay. If you look at the Ramah in Siman Reish Mem Tes Sifalo says, the ain lasis mi maisa shaloi dvar mitzvah ki goi neirois lebeis haknesis oi shah dvar mitzvah rakit nene la'anim. Okay? A person shouldn't give it dvar mitzvah, he should give it rakit nene la'anim. The Ramah is mashma that it's dafka for the anim, it's dafka for the anim. If you look at the Taz, Afanor, Zokte Azoi, Vikolshke Lifroya Bohem Masim, certainly a person cannot pay taxes with his mice. The Gemara says that it's considered like a tzedakah. You can't be pireya your chayv with tzedakah. Meiser cannot pay up a chayv that you have. Okay? So the Ratas is clearly learning. Okay? He's learning up the Ramah that we're talking over here about the chiyuvim, mitzvah that you were mechuyev to do already, so you can't take your meiser and give from that. You can't take your tzedakah and meiser and give from that. Okay, and then he goes by. Teda, the hagam b'masha adam zon bonav haktanim. Aminu eperk narish shenispatto. David bechlal oisit stoka b'chol es. This is a very big negiah that the very very negiah halachalid. That if a person feeds his bonim tanim, what does it mean bonim tanim? Doesn't mean bonim tanim less than six. It means more than six. Okay, up until 6 years old, the person is b'chiv from the parents of children. More than 6 years old, a person, the Gemara calls him an Oisik Stoka B'chaleis, if he feeds his children more than 6 years old. Okay. Zoktikaz, Shteta is an Oisik Stoka B'chaleis. If he saw Kedaita, she yoitz yoda maisa shaloi lozen bonav katana. Is anybody going to think that he asked that he yoitz that he feeds his children bonav katana? Rather, the Taz is, there are sheep, the Taz is being malam ayin. Okay, Taz being malam ayin from Rishayim that seem to say that you could. The Taz is saying, chayos is a normal thing a person does, and a person is compelled to do what he has to do it, right? Even though he's called an oisit stoka b'choleis, but he has to feed his children. Even though Be'ikar Adin doesn't have to feed his children, it could be the norms of society making that he's going to feed his children. He has to feed his children. So what the Taz is saying over here is a big yisod in the beginning of the Banatana, saying a big yisod in Meiser. Meiser cannot go to pay things that you were previously chayav. Okay? If you had a chiyuv, you could do the mashal. Everyone knows every year, right? Matanas Lavyanim can't feed mice. Why? Because Matanas Lavyanim is a bazut to rechiyuv. So you can't have mice that pays for your Matanas Lavyanim. Now, you could give your Matanas Lavyanim as the base chiyuv, from not for mice, and you can be mice for that. That's fine. That's all he's up, but that's not the Matanas Lavyanim you need. Zok the Taz by them. Ula inyan liknois mitzvus the base akneses. That means to buy an aliyah, b'mois meiser. Near elite the imbishas kniyas amitzvus hayadaita yalzeh. If his das was b'shasta when he's buying the aliyah, so he has in mind that I'm taking it from mois meiser. So once he has in mind that he's taking it from mois meiser, so his mois meiser is going for that thing. I click the hanof, and then he's getting an aliyah. Taz says we don't worry about that. Near elite the imbishas kniyas amitzvus hayadaita yalzeh sharif. The mice is going with stock. Biav shehu neme b'mashu mechave likros la'acherim l'sefer Torah. Mice says they didn't buy the aliyah for themselves. They bought it for someone else. They declare someone else to return. Call someone else to return. Ein ze isu. Sharei b'chol mice yishtei v'sana l'bayla. Mashe ein kein in b'shas k'nis ha-mitzvist lo nishaven liktim m'mais yach kach rotsu l'froim m'mais ha-hav l'ke pereh ha-hav l'ke pereh. Okay. And he goes by. So one thing we see over here is that he's saying, first of all, can't be a chayv. You can get an ancillary benefit from the ma'aser, because there's always tovus hanot. That's what I mean. There is a way. If I give someone something, so he's ma'aser tovus to me. He's happy with me. So I get that anyway. And then he goes by, and really you see it from before, but he goes by to explain that lav dafka does have to go for aniyim. The chosav v'drisha b'shem chubis marav v'mnachem shemuta litim min ha'maaser liyo is bal bris. So you can give maisa, right? You ever seen a safe? You open up a safe, you see it says kanisi, sometimes it says kanisi mimois maisa. Right? That means if a person needs a safe, and he doesn't have money for it, but he has maisa money, so the maisa he can buy a safe, but that safe he can't leave in his house. That safe he has to leave in a mokoim, or make it known that he has a lending library, that people can come and they can borrow svarim, because it's a payelis for the tzibur. To buy his own thing that he can't do, the mashal. He can't take meiser and buy tefillin with him, buy his own tefillin. Because that's his own mitzvah, his own thing, unless he would be lending tefillin to the whole world. So that says, so there are certain things that a person can spend ma'aser mamon even without it going to aniyim. It could go perhaps up to zatoyim. It could be machmas achasim lechupa. It can be for sandakayis. It could be for all these things.
That's the chayra, in terms of, it's
lav dafka la'ani. It's lav dafka la'ani. Okay. Now, we're going to find that, we'll speak about it next week, the Rambam goes through different levels of tzedakah. The different levels of chashivas of tzedakah. The greatest level of tzedakah is to be machzik in oni, that he shouldn't fall, or be maxic someone that he shouldn't lose. He should be able to go into business, or he shouldn't lose his business, or, in other words, to do stock it in a way that it's not mamish that you're giving a handout either. The question is, you're being maxic, you're lifting him up, you're helping him stay afloat. So that says to do business with an ani is also an oifen of stock. He says, we're going over here that this is not dafka maisa. We wait for a second. Okay. So now, the halacha is the following. The shaila was asked. Let's say a person, there are two stores in the city. One store owner is rich and one store owner is poor. Yeah? So, the store owner who's rich, or rich, or who's not money, right, has better prices than the store owner that's poor. So the poor man's store is higher priced. So what style of can go and cashman like this? I have to lemaisa for his own expenses. That's not maisa. He's getting food. He's getting whatever it is. That's not maisa. But the fact that he's purchasing at a higher price, the difference between the price that he could get it for, the difference that the price that he that he's paying for it now. Can that be considered ma'isa? That was the shaila to the Maram Shik. The Maram Shik said that as long as when he went in, his kavanah, they can't do that backwards. You can't say like this, oh, I got ripped off, but I'm going to cheshbon that originally. That you can't do that. He went to the, that was the idea. He went and bought it, and that's what he bought. But if he had a cheshbon, if he had that cheshbon, 100% it's mutter. 100% it's mutter, and that's Maram Shisaka. That's ma'isa. It's fine. You're allowed to do such. So you're allowed to patronize someone, and this can go in many. There are many different ways a person can apply this. It's not only in the stores, and in many different ways a person can say, "I'd rather do business with him than him." To push it to be mechazik and be masik, to help him with his parnasa. Yeah, the halacha is also that if a person can't afford to give ma'aser, let's say a person pashut. He can't meet his own expenses. So what should he do? So it's interesting. If you look in the Svarim, Meiser Ksafim that they were in Neman is just like it doesn't only make the Meiser into Meiser. Just like when you have Peiris, you mechitz to take Trumas from Meisers. So until you take Trumas from Meisers, all the Peiris are also, they're all Tevel. Once you mafresh Trumas u'Maisus from it, so not only do you make Trumas u'Maisus Kaddish, but you're also affecting something on the parents that you're leaving, that you're keeping to yourself. This haste, you're recognizing, and this far I'm talking about this all, the whole idea of Maisa is recognizing that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that recognition that we have to have in our own Parnassah. We have to have in our own what we're left with. But the halach is, and the Ramah brings it, Ramah says that if a person doesn't have kidei parnasasa, chayecha kaitin. So first, parnasas atzmei kaidemis lechaladam. Ve'ene chayev losit stoka atzhi yaloi parnasasa. Yaktam parnasas of it, the ima, and then he has to give, then he can start giving other people parnasas. So the Ramah is saying that if a person has no money, so he keeps the meiser himself, whatever, or, you know, meaning, if the amount of money that he's going to give out is going to make him not have his parnasa, so he can keep that ma'isa for himself. But the Sfarim say he should still be mafresh ma'isa. He should still be mafresh ma'isa, as the Indian that we just discussed before. Okay. Now, how does one cheshbin ma'isa? Okay. How does one cheshbin, what is considered a revach, what is considered a loss? What is considered a revach and what is considered a loss? When?
So if you look,
the club, it's klar. This is all business. What does that mean, it's all business?
That means that lamashal, let's say a guy goes and he makes an investment. He makes $100,000.
Okay?
He bought a stock, he made $100,000 on the stock. And he forgot to pay his insurance premium, and his roof fell in. Not in his business, but his roof fell in his house, and he has a $90,000 loss on his house. Right? He still has to pay $10,000 a month because that was not a business loss. Because hey, losses in business offset. Because the question is, did I have a revach or not? The fact that I have another loss that's not business related does not allow me to deduct it from my revach. Okay? So, lamashal. However, if a person has a loss in business, so clearly he doesn't say every revach. Now, there are those that tie in, I'm saying la locha, we don't go this way, that every revach is every revach. But the way we go halacha, revach is offset by loss. Okay? When revach is offset by loss, if you look at the Chavis Yor, I'm going to discuss this at length next week, exactly how the cheshbon. Person should have a separate bank account or not a separate bank account, but the Chavis Yor says that a person should have a certain set time every year that he says once a year, twice a year, a certain set time that he cheshbons all his revachim, connected all his losses, and then he cheshbons how much ma'aser he owes. So if a person makes $100,000 on a deal, and then he loses $40,000 on the deal, so he clearly only has to pay on $60,000. He would have to give $6,000 for ma'aser. Now, what about expenses? Okay, what about business expenses? Okay? Person goes on a business trip. Okay? So he stays in a hotel. He eats in restaurants. Okay? He takes cabs. Okay? So all those expenses, he has to buy clothing for work. He has to buy a nicer suit. Okay? Or your wife goes to work. Okay? But in order for her to go to work, she has to hire a babysitter. Okay? And it's difficult for her to clean the house. She has to hire more cleaning up. Okay? As if she goes to work. So Lemaisa, I'm talking about just being Menachem. So all these things play a role in cheshbening how much revach a person has. Okay? If a person goes on a business trip and he has to eat in a restaurant, okay? So the whole bill of the restaurant is not taken off. What's taken off? You have to cheshbon what you're going to eat at home. Well, you can eat at home, would have cost a certain amount of money. What you're going to eat, right? What you eat there. And the difference of there, if it's not a direct business expense, that would be it. A person buys a suit for
It's okay. Yeah,
but it would have cost the money. The business expense. This is not in noise, I have to explain one thing. What we're talking over here is being menakeh from the revach. It's defining how much did I make over here, right? How much did I make, and what am I mechuyev to pay off? What do they call it? When you have the appraisal on the house. I forgot what it's called. The appraised value, right? That's what the base. That's how they cheshbon how you pay taxes, right? So what is the appraised value of your net gain of your gain that you have to pay ma'aser on? Okay, that's going to be offset by many things. It's going to be offset by expenses that are directly related to that gain. Okay, so if you had to buy a suit, right, and you didn't buy a $150 suit, you bought a $300 suit, right? So you have to $150 as well, right? The place can talk about the case I mentioned before. If a woman needs a babysitter, and the only way she can go to work is with a babysitter, that is clearly deducted from her revach. Okay? And sometimes you find that people, like, yeah, your loss is greater than the whole revach. And my wife sometimes tells me that she would do better if she was a babysitter. But Lemaisa, that's a very sadistic point. Okay, and every case might not be exactly the same. A person has to realize that she has kashayla. There's some times where the fact that you have a babysitter saves your money. Right? Let's say normally you pay $1.50 a shirt to be starched. If your babysitter goes and she starches all your shirts. Right? So that cheshbit, right, you're gaining also from that. So you have to make a cheshbit to figure out exactly what the gain and what the loss is.
Okay.
Now, mind you, some people might be a little bit taken aback by this. If someone gives you money as a gift, you have to give ma'aser on that too. Okay? That's the rebbach. It doesn't only have to be that you invested money and you're in business. A rebbach you have is something that is even a gift. If you get your tax refund, right? So of course your taxes are certainly. I mean, so most places can say that we're dealing with post-tax dollars, right? The taxes that are taken off from your check or any taxes that you have to pay go there. They are taken off from what the base revach is. Okay, but let's say you get a refund at the end of the year. Obviously, you're getting money back, so obviously you have to cash from that, and you have to give miser on that because that was money that you took that they took out that you never even gave miser on. You would have to give miser on that money. Okay, what about, and this is true about a Yerusha too. If a person gets a Yerusha, it's for free. What about if a person, now mind you, just again, taxes that you can deduct are only business related taxes, right? You certainly can't deduct your income tax. Okay? Your income tax is there. The government takes your income tax, even though some say that's really exactly what you get. I mean, the house says you can't even use it. You can't use it. Certainly, your mice of money you can't use for the taxes. That's a little bit. But certainly, income tax is not something that is driven by a cost of doing business. Okay, it's not a cost of getting the revenue. Okay, it has to be offset by something that's directly for the revenue. Or, you know, the real estate taxes. Real estate taxes are really for the community, for the local community, for the school boards and all those things, even though you don't benefit from that, but lemaisa, the person has to pay taxes on that. The person there's a very, very interesting chiddush in some of the paiskim, which is very, very negative, okay, to anyone who sells a house, okay, lemaisa. If you have a business and a warehouse or a business, you have an office, right? And you own it, right? So all the expenses that you pay for living there, for working there and using it, are all expenses of the business, right? You live on your own house, right? So you're paying for the equity in your house. You're paying a certain amount. And you're also paying interest on the loans. For those of us that are unlucky enough to have mortgages, you take a loan. So you're taking percentage of what you're paying is interest. Okay, that interest is clearly also a cost of living, not a cost of doing business. It's a cost of living. But what happens when you sell your house? You sell your house. Let's say you make $200,000 living house. You bought your house for $500,000. You sell your house for $700,000. Okay. Now, the interest that you paid on the loan now does not become a living expense. It becomes a business expense because you made money on your house. You made money on your house, so you have to hedge. It's a very, very negative thing. If a person wants to hedge, exactly what his rebach is in terms of when a person makes money on his house. Okay, so the hedge would be the gain minus the amount of money that he had to pay for interest. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Chelek Beis in Yerdeya, in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he discusses inflation, where he talks about it as about as the matveyos became worth less, which every second they do become less, right? So he cheshbens that you have to figure out a cost of living, what exactly the kolo went up, right? The cost of living adjustment every year so that you had the house, and that would be, I would deduct from the amount of your gain on the revenue of the house. In terms of stocks, someone asked me about stocks. The halakhic stocks is, as it is in the market, if you don't cash in, it's not a gain, it's not a loss. Okay? If you don't go to the register, you haven't gained, you haven't lost. You can have paper profits, who knows, up the wazoo. It doesn't make a difference. Of course, dividends or anything that comes in is certainly a revenue. But the actual paper is nothing. Okay? Which is true about your house too, which is true about real estate, same thing. Let's say you sell your stock, but you're not using the money. You're going into another stock. That's a very negative kashala. Okay? The paiskim will say that is something that is still considered you're in business. In other words, you haven't taken the revenue. Okay, since you haven't taken the Rebbe, so it's still as if it's invested, and therefore you haven't drawn from it. Someone asked me a shayla, what about an IRA? The IRA is coming straight off his check, and it's going into an IRA account, so he's never touching the money. That is totally different. That is not, that's the pshat, you're choosing to save your money, you're forced to, you get a penalty if you take it out, but you're saving it, you got the rent, you got the money, you put it, you're saving it. That is something that you have to pay, that you would have to give Meiser on. Okay. Everything we discussed until now was talking about something that is monetary. Okay? You got money, cash, a gift of cash, an inheritance of cash, you made money, you sold something. What happens if somebody gives you something that is tangible, that's not money? Something that's non-monetary. What happens then? What's the din then? Okay. Now, in terms of a non-monetary gift, we can really split it up. We can really discuss things that are things, A, something that you would have bought, or something that you would not have bought. Okay? If it's something that you would have bought, most Paiskim hold that the Sukkah Mishpat, clearly those are Blauhaus, that it's something that's considered a Rebbe. So if somebody bought you something that you were going to actually go out and buy, so that's something that you actually were going to get, you're going to go out and buy, is something you're actually going to go out and buy, you're Mechuyif to pay Maaser on that. Okay, that's a gain that you put. If it wasn't that, you're not Mechuyif. Okay. Very, very important question. You get health insurance from work. Health insurance has a very, very high value. It's going up and up as we speak. That health insurance is clearly a non-monetary gain. It's a shtabra, you're getting health insurance. Your company's paying for your insurance. Now the truth is, Me'ikar Adin, let's say somebody pays your bill for you. Let's say you have a grocery bill. And a person goes and pays your bill for you. What's the din? That's called a mavriyah hari. Right? In Iyach Ba'isav al-Karanat Sfi. Let's say I go and I pay your grocery bill. Can I get the money back from you? It's not a nana. It's mavriyah hari. You owe money. So what do you mean? Because you have a guy, so mavriyah hari means you're chasing away a lion. You have a lion that's ready to come to take your money. Right? Because you owe him money. Now what did I do? I was misalik, the guy that you owe money to. Good. So I was misalik, the money. I was misalik the money. The hari. But that's not a machayik. I'm not mechuyif. Okay? It's a mission in the dark. You're not mechuyif. The Lashon HaMishnah is, Tanan says, Hiniach ma'aisav al karen atzvi. You can't run the money back. If I would go pay a bill of yours, and I would want the money back, that's mavriyah hari, not mechuyif. So, if somebody goes and pays something for you, so what happens if your company is paying your insurance? That's a little bit different, because it's not the pshat they're paying your bill. The pshat is they're giving you insurance, and they're paying the insurance. In a few places, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying that you have to give ma'aser on that matter, on that package. The package of health insurance, whatever the value of the package of health insurance, what the value is, a person has to give. Now, it's not so clear exactly if he means what he means. There are many places that say the following. The later places say the following. First of all, it depends, A, if you would buy an insurance policy or if you would have bought an insurance policy. So it's like a non-monetary gift that you never were going to pay for anyway, so that's not. But even if you were going to pay for the health insurance, it depends. This is what the price can come out. I mean, Shamsaman held that that way. But most price can say, it depends how it's being offered. Sometimes a person goes, and the job is $50,000 plus health insurance, $100,000 plus health insurance. Let's say you say, I want to forego the health insurance. So is the company really offering you $112,000? And they're just saying, we'll give you $12,000 in the form of health insurance. Well, no, you want to forego the health insurance, the company will say, thank you very much, we appreciate your contribution, and that's it. Most companies are the latter, okay? They're not going to give you the cash value for it. Since they're not going to give you the cash value for it, so it's not the pshat that the etzem they're giving you the health insurance, it's not the pshat that they're really giving you money. And instead of giving you money, they're giving you the health insurance. Rather, it's almost like they're paying something for you, and therefore you're not mechuyif. And that's lechur what most poskim think. In terms of tuition, it's a little one to get to a little bit in the parsha, but just one thing in terms of tuition, Moshe has a tshuva about tuition, very interesting thing. As the Chazal says before, the shaila is like this. First of all, a person is mechuyif to teach his son Torah. A person is mechuyif to teach his son Torah, so you can't take pick ma'aseh to take for your son's Torah, because you're mechuyif to teach your son Torah, right? Now, the truth is that it's not so clear at what level you're not mechuyif to teach your son Torah. Kashrus, once your son knows Tanakh, or you learn Tanakh with your son, okay, that chiyuv, you don't have a chiyuv. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is mashma, that at any point your son can't learn on his own, you mechuyif to teach him. So it says, until your son knows how to make a lady in Gemara, until your son knows how to stand on his own, you mechuyif to teach him Torah. Since you mechuyif to teach him Torah, you can't pay ma'aseh. You can't use ma'aseh, it's a chiyuv. Rav Moshe has a chiddush, another chiddush. What about girls? Girls is no chiyuv tam Torah. So what do you mechuyif to give you the mechuyif? Let them stay home and bake chocolate cake. You don't have to give them you want to put them in a good environment. It's a very nice thing. You can use mice for that. That's a nice thing. They're learning more, maybe hashkafa, maybe they can be better wives to support B'nai Torah. That could be a great thing. A Ramosha's Kiddush is as a Ramosha says that Lamaisa, the law is that you have to send them to school. Once the law is you have to send them to school, so you can send to public school, you can't send to public school. So you include the son to yeshiva, you include the son to yeshiva, you cannot take that off of my city. Okay? What about seminary? Okay, it's arguable if seminary is a mitzvah or not, but the seminary already has a point where that lechuyif to go to school. So that lecharin of Ramosha, if one feels deems that it's necessary for the spiritual development of his daughter, so lecharin, that would be something that a person could take off from ma'aser ma'is for. Again, everything we discussed before was discussion of what lowers the base, lowers the thing that you mechuyif ma'aser on. What we're talking about here is using ma'is ma'aser. Okay? Rav Moshe does have a chiddush, and he says that many yeshivas, the amount of tuition that is paid is not representative of the lude kodesh, of the cost of the lude kodesh. Just ask the Rebbeim exactly what they paid and when they paid. You'll find out that clearly that which was paid for tuition is not only going to that. It's going to English teachers. It's going to certain infrastructures. It's going to certain things that are lav dafka a mitzvah, lav dafka a chiyuv. Mechuyif to teach your child Torah. You're not mechuyif to do many many things. It could be maybe as a chelik of being malam rundis. That's not. So a person could really theoretically figure that out. Now,
why is it any worse than this true about a girl?
What do you mean?
Sorry, I
can't keep it in English. What about the other things that are not secular studies? Maybe that would go, that would have your right. So that's another question. The Maisa, sometimes, so it could be that the fact of the girl's cheshbon, the cheshbon that you have about the girls, you have to send them here, you have to pay that thing. But sometimes the tuition is not representative of the total cost of what your child is getting. Right? In other words, sometimes, basically, your tuition is subsidizing someone who's not paying tuition, or someone who's paying less tuition. So, what Ramosha says, bottom line is, you have to cheshbin exactly what the cost of the education is. Whatever the cost of the education, not the cost of the parent, the cost of the school of the education. If everybody were paying full tuition, everybody would have to pay tuition, and would be paying tuition, what would be the cost of each child's tuition? Okay? And anything above that, a person can actually pay, give my support, because he's pushing to be supporting someone else's child in turn.
She was not paying.
I know she was okay that whatever we get, we don't get enough. Okay, I wanted to speak a little bit on the parsha. Again, there are times I'll talk to them for one more time tomorrow, but I want to discuss. Go over a little bit, I'm sorry. A very fascinating parsha in Parshas Matnas. And it seems very interesting. Mikne Rav, they had a lot of cattle. Literally this means they had a lot of cattle. Bnei God and Bnei Ruvein had a lot of cattle. And since they had a lot of cattle, Bayiru Eseretz Yazer, Eseretz Gilad, Vehine Amokim, Bukhay Mikne, they found, they realized that where they were in Eber Yarden, before the Yarden, before they were going to come to Eretz Yisrael, there was a land that was great for pasture for their animals. They had a lot of animals. By Yavoyu B'nei God, B'nai Ruvain v'yoyimu al Moshe. They said to Moshe, Atorois, v'tivoin, v'yazer, v'nimra, v'cheshboin, v'aloloi, v'svam, v'nevoi, v'oin. It has wonderful, it's an Eretz Mikneh, v'yoyimu al Matzonuchem b'necha. They want to keep, stay here, they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Allah sabirenu, al tabirenu es hayardin. Let us stay here. So, before we ask any questions, it's interesting that the Balat Turim tells us that the word B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruvein is said, the phrase B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruvein is said 8 times in this parsha. It says it 8 times. Shasat Tazach, why does it, what's the point that it should say it 8 times? Balat Turim says it for something over here. What the real question is, B'nei Gadu B'nei Ruvein, first of all, why did they have a Mikneh Rav? Why did they have more cattle than anyone else? So there are many, many, many pens have been broken on this. Okay? But Lumaisa, the question is, why did they have more of a Mikneh than anyone else? And the question also is, they saw that it was good pasture land over here. Right? How did they know that Eretz Yisrael wasn't going to be better? Maybe they'd find better in Eretz Yisrael? Why did they settle in Finya? So it's clear that there must be something else going on over here. There's also a fascinating. Can't point it. I'll get sparked on. If you look at the names of the cities, okay, Shteit, Atorois, V'divoi, V'yazer, V'nimra, V'cheshboi, V'aloloi, V'svam, U'nevoi, U'vo'oi. If you look at the Targum Hunchlis, what is Nevoi? Uveis Kvurta de Moshe. He defines every other city. Every other city. Machlelto, Malveshta, V'chumrin, Uveis Nimrin, Uveis Chushbina, Uvalei Dvava, V'sima, Uveis Kvurta de Moshe, U'vo'oi. So he defines Nevoi, Har Nevoi is where Moshe was buried. He defines Nevoi based forth to Moshe. Plus after he's telling us over here where Moshe is going to be buried. They want to live over here in this city. Nevoi is the name of the city. Ulegod Omar, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ulegod Omar, Baruch Machiv God, Kimobi Shokin, the Torah, Zroya, Akkot God. Vayar reishis loy kishom chelkas nechoike ksochem. He saw a reishis for him, a first thing for him, God. Kishom chelkas nechoike ksochem. Says Rashi. Ro lito lechelik be'eret sichoin v'oib. He sought to take a land, he wanted the land of sichoin v'oib, which is Eber HaYarden. Shehi reishis kibush ha'aretz. Ki shom chelkas mechoike ksofa. Ki yoda asher shom benachlosoi chelkas sodek furas mechoike kuhu Moshe. God saw that this was the land that Moshe was going to be buried in. And that's why God wanted to stay here. He wanted to live in Eva Yarden because this was going to be the land of Moshe. Azoi shteit in Rashi, it's a Rashi in Chumash. It's interesting, if you look at the Chiddush Arim says, U'mikne Rav. What does U'mikne Rav mean? U'mikne Rav means Pashtus. What does U'mikne Rav mean? They had Mikne means cattle, Rav, a lot. U'mikne Rav shteit in Chiddush Arim. Zemgahatazak kinyin in the Rav. They had such a kinyin in their Rav, in Moshe Rabbeinu. The Melon, the Rav, the Rav, so therefore they saw they wanted to stay over here. That's the Pshat they wanted to stay, but welcome to Furus Moshe. That's the Pshat that the Targum says. The Targum doesn't touch it in the void. The Targum says, we're based food to the Moshe. Los Ephes has the Hotos to tell what does it have to do with it? I'm not doing it justice because there's an Arichas Nifur that we could speak over here on who God was and who Ruvain was. Oh, but they got up and they Ruvain didn't mean stand that they had a lot of cattle. Well, Los Ephes, they had a lot of cattle. But my sister, they could make the Rav. Make the Rav, they had a lot of cattle. Los Ephes, they had a lot of cattle, and therefore, that was what showed in their Kenyan, in their Rav. You look at the Netziv in the Hakadomah to Sefer Bamidbar. The Netziv has a motif, has a theme, a cloud in all the Svarim, that each sefer goes with the medrash that states five times in Bereshis. Is the fact that Chamishchom Shikar connected each Ur. What is the Ur? The Yehi Ur. If there should be Ur, that's Bereshis. Vayehi Ur. That's the Shemois. That's the Bereshis. Is that what the future? Shemois is that it was. Yeah. What's the Ur? Was Heis Bamidbar. Bamidbar is the Ur. Is connected to Pasuk. Kedegit the pasuk of Vayavdel Alekim Ben Ha'ur Ben Hakoshim. Vayavdel Alekim Ben Ha'ur Ben Hakoshim. And Rabbi says, I want to tell you a half ludicrous thing. Was shteit da in the tzid, which is something that bothered me for many years. If you ever Bamidbar, stay for Bamidbar, right? What is it called in English? It's really a translation of what Chazal called Bamidbar. What do they call Bamidbar? The Chumash HaPikudim. HaPikudim means it would count old numbers. Now, a lot happens in Bamidbar. In the beginning of Bamidbar, the Klal Yisrael is counted. In Pinchas, Klal Yisrael is counted. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in Bamidbar. You know, you have like the Mesoinim, and you have the Nesiim, and you have the Mekoshish, and you have loads of things. Rosh Lachlan, Chukas Haaretz, and we're talking about numbers. What's the pshat? We're talking about the Chumash HaPikudim. There are two pikudim. There's the pikudim. There's the counting of Bnei Yisrael in Bamidbar. There's the counting of Bnei Yisrael. There's the counting of Bnei Yisrael at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Pinchas. And so up there, there's one chilik, not in the numbers, in the oifin of the counting. In the oifin of the counting in Sefer in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Ephraim is counted before Menashe. And in the Sefer, and at the end of the Sefer, Menashe is counted before Ephraim. So that's the one chilik in the structure of the counting. Zokta, what's the chilik? What's the pshat? Zokta, hafla b'gazach. When Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, they were kuloi ur. They were ponim aponim takarish baruch hu, as oivim Moshe Rabbeinu's men ponim aponim takarish baruch hu. They were oichli hamon, they were oichli mishulchan gavoya, they mamish eichli takarish baruch hu's head. But just like a child, when a mother has to stop nursing a child, he can't talk cold turkey. He has to wean the child. Klal Yisrael was going in to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, the parnos is not so easy. It's viasach to go nefer. It's yirosh to be tzarefer. It's a person has to the person has to toil and work in the land. He's not mamish panim aponim takav shbaruch. We've spoken as many times to Rav Shechayim in Sharalef, the Sharalef of Barakes, and Barakes, and Barak Yud. He discusses how the Klal Yisrael changed when they went there to Israel, and the whole Klal Yisrael went down in their diet because they had to work the land. They weren't panim aponim takav shbaruch. Zokdin tziv, dosa vayavdil bein va'eru bein ha'choshech. There's the Ur in the Midbar, and the last, all these things, all the Mis'ainim, starting with the Mis'ainim, starting with all these tragedies happening by Midbar, is the last year. It's the 39th year in the Midbar. Why? Before you think. Why? Because Klal Yisrael, Hashkach already is weaning Klal Yisrael off this relationship. He's weaning Klal Yisrael off this relationship, that's about Yaakov ben Ur ben Achayshav. Zokte, the first people who was Ephraim, who was Menashe? So the Tzif says in Vayichid, Ephraim and Menashe, we know. Yaakov Avinu is sikulas yada. He put his right hand on Ephraim, he put his left hand on Menashe. But where were his legs? He didn't cross his legs. So his right leg was by Menashe and his left leg was by Ephraim. In Milad Alma, in Regilus, in the Regel, in Parnosa, in that which is binding a person on his feet physically, Menashe is this. Menashe, when it is come to the belt from Parnosa, Menashe is better than Ephraim. But it's come to Ruchnias, the Yad brings us Lamayim in our Rosh. The Yad, Sikulas Yadav, his Yad's right hand goes on Ephraim, but his right leg is by Menashe. Zokdin et Siv. Parshas HaPikudim, the whole Sefer Bamidbar, it's called numbers for a reason, it's Sefer HaPikudim. Because the Bamidbar is the Sefer of transition. From Ur to Choshev. Vayavdol Alekim, Beino Ur, Beino Choshev. As I state in Siv. Let's haste. Klal Yisrael going into Eretz Yisrael. was ba'ifin in a certain way, it was a step down. When Klal Yisrael, we've spoken this many times, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into the Eretz because Moshe Rabbeinu was cool at Panama Banta Kabbish. Man, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be the manning in Eretz Yisrael. Thus he began good. Moshe Rabbeinu Vayarei 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 just the kids of Nimitz. There's one of the Shvatim that's Noilad Mal. Who's the Shevet that's Noilad Mal? Good. Zosh Shtet Nirashi Mayetze. Who was the Vayara Yelad Kitoiv? Shtet Nirashi? He was Noilad Mal. Moshe Rabbeinu was Noilad Mal. Thus the Pshat, Bishus Moshe is what? Is the Mon, is Bishus Moshe. Klal Yisrael, the Mon was the Pshat. What is it? Why is the person Noilad Mal? Why does a person not know the moment? So what Rabbi Akiva says, what Rabbi Akiva said to Tonus Rufus, is David to make bread? No, he makes wheat and we have to improve on it. So we have a guf, we have to improve on our guf. Of in Midbar, what did Klal Yisrael have? They had bread in Hashemayim. When Mela, there was a know the moment, a shayach to that Akiva. They shayach to that moment. So God is the Chanayim of Mal. God is the Pshat, Kumpun HaKadosh Baruch Hu. State, who is Reuven? Reuven is the Pshat. Reuven was Vayetze. Reuven is in Zman from the Dudoyim. Serious Dudoyim. The Dudoyim are the Pshat, Shtek and Chazal. The Dudoyim are the things that come Eilof. You don't have to plant Dudoyim. Dudoyim come Eilof. Reuven is that same Midah. Reuven is the same Midah of God that the Pshat is. That God is Shayach to the Mon. Shteken pasuk in Baloyska, v'hamon kizra gov. The mon is described as kizra gov, like the zara of God. What does it mean, kizra gov? It's a pasuk shad. It's coriander seed. The mon was kizra gov, like the children of God. Just like the children of God are not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, the mon is not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. As Oshtek is there. Because the pshat that what umikne rav. Bnei God of Bnei Reuven didn't want to lose that connection to Moshe. They didn't want to lose that connection to the Mon. They didn't want to lose that connection to being Kulei Panit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shtei in by Rabbi Yonis and Eichitz half live a fellow. Mikdarach means that they had a lot of cattle. What's the pshat? Because what did the Misoinim do when they didn't like the Mon? What did they do? They shechted the behemoths. Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. They ate from the Mon. Miknerav, they had a Miknerav. That was their kinyan in the Rav. When Mela, they wanted to stay here, B'makom Kfuras. They wanted to stay here, B'makom Kfuras, Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the Miknerav. They weren't looking. They weren't looking for pasture land. They were looking at the Chinese. They had Miknerav, and Mela. They wanted to stay in Eger HaYarden. It's interesting. That was in this man of Ben HaMitzorim. Bein HaMitzorim is the pshat. It's the egg. It's tight. Meitzer is constricted. But God is Baruch Marfiv God. God is called, he's Marfiv. He expands. Klal Yisrael can only look to expand. And it's interesting, we're talking over here, Amish, where the borders in Eretz Yisrael, where the Yidden are living in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, we're oppressed from Eber HaYarden, from Levonoim, from the Tifs of Baraza. It's been observed. Baruch Mark of God. God is the Pshat. The She'ifa to be with HaKadosh Baruch. The She'ifa to be Panim al Panim with HaKadosh Baruch. The She'ifa to be totally focused, single-mindedly, on Avodas Hashem. That's what we get from Bnei God of Bnei Reuven. From Bnei God of Bnei Reuven, there's a Hashkofa, that there has to be a Mikne Rav, that we have to desire to be by HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally. And that way it could be Baruch Marfiv God. He expands the borders. He expands the borders of Eretz Yisrael because he wants to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ben Amtsarim is his man. When Kol Roit Feh HaYisiguha, we mentioned last the Parshas Magid said, Kol Roit Feh Ko HaYisiguha. Anyone who's Roit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaYisiguha, if a person, this is a time when the Gansel felt they're not interested in learning, they're not interested in being Roit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we want Roit of Efter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we want those that want to be Roit of Efter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaYisiguha, Ben Amtsarim, Mishataka B'Zoicha, that this Chodesh, that should be taka a chodesh that's nepach, the chodesh that's coming up next week is Rosh Chodesh Av. should be nepach, l'sasim, l'simcha. We should takta, see the borders of Eretz Yisrael expand to accept the Mikdash HaShlishi. We should takta, be zeichet, to see the Gula Shleimah.